We're inspired. He's a character. We could not stop laughing, you know. And then it's just so, it just fits the song so well. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tight, but you guys, you're going to do it.
Old Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a bomb, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
What's up? It's episode 30 of Alt Down Under, another landmark episode. What is going on? These episodes are flying by at the moment. And 2025, not to sound like one hell of an old man, but how are we at the end of November? I don't know what's going on. Honestly, I'm turning into my dad and we go, bloody hell, another year's gone by, son. Absolute madness. Hello, it's me, Luke Scanlon, once again with you. Welcome along to this episode of Alt Down Under. And in this episode, I'll be chatting to two of the legends from these New South Wales. The boys' fourth album, Godspeed, comes out this week. Exciting times for the band. So I was lucky enough to have a sit down with Todd and Jamie from the band and go through all manner of things right back from the first days of the band. How they instantly hit it off through a shared love of music. They met one night at a gig. We also discussed sleepovers. Are they still a thing in adult life? Should we be bringing them back? Big questions are answered. We also go through the sound on the new album as well. There's some absolute banging punk tracks on there, like insane. And the boys explain how they had a BPM in mind, then they got in the studio and they basically just dialed it up to 11 and just smashed it out of the park. And they also have some words of wisdom. Now on their fourth album, they discuss what they would tell musicians breaking through now. Obviously here in Australia, loads of amazing emerging artists, those trying to build up their career. So yeah, some very valuable nuggets of knowledge from Jamie and Todd. So that's all to come, plus their dream gig venue coming up here shortly on Alt Down Under.
Alternative Down Under.
So since our last episode, bit going on, kids, bit going on. I'm sure you would have seen, I posted a video on our socials about it, Amel and the Sniffers, big live free show at Fed Square in Melbourne Town. And holy shit, that was one hell of a crowd. And yeah, I went down there. Crowd was massive, absolutely huge. And I'd been down there before for gigs. There's been some huge free shows there in the past year or so. I went down and saw Kneecap and that was just unbelievable. Like that was a ridiculously hot day as well, like 30 plus degrees. But the atmosphere was amazing and obviously a highly charged political band in terms of their messaging and what they stand for, which is great. And then I got down for Amel and the Sniffers and it just the setup was a bit different. First of all, there was a fence up around Fed Square. And I think just by having a fence up, that by default changes people's mindset. And I don't know, I got in there. I was lucky enough, I had a little media pass, even though it was a free event, but it basically just meant I was guaranteed access to get in there. I watched public figures play. And one absolute silver lining of that night is the fact that anyone who went down and was there in time to see them, man, what a set they delivered. It was so good, honestly. If you haven't heard their music, get across them right now because I think they're going to be going places for sure. So they played a great set. And then not long after they finished, I saw some bagpipers. They're about to be wheeled out because I don't know if you saw the world record of bagpipers playing in Fed Square. So the bagpipers were about to come on stage, I believe, and then kind of out of disbelief, some people had jumped the fence. The fence had come down at the back of Fed Square and at the left-hand side, stage left, where I was stood. And I have to say, the atmosphere did actually change quite a bit. And with it being an all-ages show, like it was totally fair that they pulled the plug on it. Like, what are you going to do? So yeah, I think also the timing of it, I think they announced it maybe a little bit too early and the time of day, perhaps a lot of people were quite boozed up. Maybe people were on their way to Sam Fender, who was also playing at Sydney Meyer Music Bowl that night. A few like things making up a bit of an ugly concoction, but it's a shame. You'd like to think that these bands can come on and put on what is an amazing thing, a free gig, and deliver what they want to do. But honestly, being a fan of the band, I'm sure you would have seen I'm on the Sniffers sent their 40K fee, which I presume is what they got paid for the show. And they sent that to 8 different bars, pubs in Melbourne, $5,000 a pop. So how cool is that? And if anything, more punk rock that the show was cancelled. So, you know, one of those ones, but I'm sure the organisers, there's a bit of a learning curve, I guess, in terms of how it was run and the fence and the policing of it. So yeah, the whole thing was just a bit of a chaotic event and ultimately a massive anticlimax. But there you go. We all live and learn, hey?
Alternative Down Under.
All right. As per the last few episodes, I've been playing some artists who've got recent releases that I think you should get your ears around. And I've got a few more for you today. First of all, we have a new one from the wonderful human being and legend that is Romany, who's been a guest here on Alt Down Under in the past. Do go back and listen to that episode if you haven't heard it already. Great chat with Romany, who has been in Melbourne after moving over from Belgium for several years. And yeah, she's been really creating some amazing music in that time. And this most recent release is just, yeah, I think it shows that how she's leveled it up. There's a real nice section with her vocals where she's almost talking, which is very cool. Something slightly different to some of her older stuff. And I'll play this little bit here. As we know, I am a sucker for some beautiful guitars and something beautifully nostalgic about this. Have a listen. This is Romany with I Won't Yell.
Hoping you would save me from a life in which I drowned. I went outside for some fresh air, only to find smoke and doubts. Get me out!
I love doing these song recommendations. I always feel like an old school radio DJ. That was Romany there with I Won't Yell. And yeah, I'm just very excited on her behalf at the moment. She's in a great little bubble. Romany has announced her sophomore album, It's Not That Funny, that'll be coming next February, February the 20th, which is super exciting. In an Insta post, she said that these are a collection, 11 songs about inner demons, being scared 24/7, but managing to find the strength and break through it all and do it anyway, getting it done, / wanting to make your therapist laugh, she says. Also, I'm sure you've heard it recently, Kelly Holiday's new track, Ecstasy. Romany's vocals feature on that as well. So yeah, very exciting time for her at the moment. The next track I have for you, kids, is this one. Very cool sound for you. In their own words, a bittersweet world of noise is what they're trying to create. This is the band called Point. They're a group of high school mates and they've just embarked on this musical journey. So yeah, have a listen to this. This is Guardrails. Yeah, I think if you're a 90s grunge fan or you're a fan of more recent bands like English Teacher, then you're definitely going to get around this. And I totally know what they mean. Bittersweet world of noise. There is that kind of sadness in there, but also elation. It's quite hard to decipher between it, but I think something that really hooks you in from the offset. So what a tune that is. And as I say, very early days for these guys. So get ahead of the curve. Follow them now. Follow the journey. And lastly, a track that stood out to me purely because it sounds like classic UK garage. And our last guest, Joy Crooks, she told us how she was working with Kano, UK garage hip hop rap icon. And it kind of ties into that as well. This one from Aaliyah, this is called Heart of the Night.
I'm sorry for the mess I made, for a missing step and some choices I played, but tonight carries me too far.
It's just such a liquid quality to that. It's just beautiful. So nice on the ears, man. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Love that one from Aaliyah. And there you go. They are my 3 track recommendations for episode 30 of Alt Down Under.
Alternative Down Under.
Okay, it's about time we get into this episode for real. This is my chat with Jamie and Todd, two of the legends from These New South Wales. As I mentioned at the top of the show, the album, new album, fourth album, is out this week. And let me tell you, there are some amazing songs on this. one in particular stand out for me, Big Machine. In just a moment, you'll find out the story behind the audio sample at the beginning of that track. It's a great story. Without further ado, my chat here on Old Down Under with These New South Wales. Todd and Jamie from These New South Wales, how are we, guys? You all good?
Yeah, very well, thanks. It's a lovely Friday morning here in Melbourne. Sun is shining. It's kind of the warmest day it's been in a little while, to be honest.
I know, man. I got out for a run this morning. It's a beautiful morning. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's lovely, so
isn't it? You're based in Melbourne despite the band name.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. In spite of the band name, actually.
Yeah. Where do you sit on the, obviously there's the age old Melbourne Sydney feud thing that goes on, but like I saw a couple of clips from the Arias recently about who's got the better music scene, and I'm actually not too sure because I'm in Melbourne as well and I love Melbourne. I love the Melbourne gig scene here, and I'm probably a little bit biased towards that as well, but there is some stuff, good stuff coming out of Sydney as well.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, I think Melbourne is definitely superior in terms of being able to access live music and you know, a scene. But Sydney is, no shade on Sydney at all. Like it's it's sick. There's so many great bands come out of Sydney. There's been a really solid like DIY scene there forever. And so many fantastic bands that have emerged from it. So, but I think just in general, if I had to pick one, I'd say Melbourne.
Yeah, fair play, man. Where do you stand, Todd? Are you echoing that?
Yeah, 100%. I think Melbourne's just got it all. You know, we did play in Sydney for a long time. We were living in Sydney and playing when we started, and it was actually like super fun. A lot of cool places to play, but Melbourne's got the edge, I reckon.
It's got it going on, definitely, man. With that, you mentioned there the DIY sort of stuff. I know you guys kind of very, very much DIY in the early days and probably elements of that still as well. So I just wanted to go back to those early days about like how you kind of came together as a band and like what was the one thing that kind of drew you together? Obviously a love of music, but what were those early stages like for you guys?
I would say one of the first thing that drew us together was just that it was an immediate friendship. So we didn't actually... Two of us, Will and I, were friends, and then Todd and Luke, our original drummer, were friends. And we met one night at a gig and just immediately got on. I think we hung out the next night as well at a house party. And just, yeah, it was a very fast sort of friendship connection. And then...
The next weekend too, I reckon. I think you stayed over my house that night.
Yeah.
That's cute. A little sleepover.
Isn't it?
Yeah, sleepovers from the get-go.
Random.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I used to love a sleepover. I wonder if you can like still bring that back as an adult, just have sleepovers.
You can. You know what? I do them. I've got a friend who I used to have sleepovers with in primary school, in high school, who lives in Melbourne. And he lives about an hour out east, like in the burbs. Okay. So every now and then I'll just be like, come down to mine, let's write some music together and hang out, drink some beers, eat some pizza and have a sleepover.
That's great. That's a beautiful thing. I love that. I'm a big fan. I need to get on board. I've got one specific mate in mind who would definitely be all over this.
Yeah. It's mad.
He'll be like, he'll be like, let's watch a film, get a bottle of red and have a little snuggle on the sofa.
Yeah. No.
I also wanted to ask you as well, because obviously you have this shared love of music being in a band, but I read this article recently about how, I think it was a study at a university somewhere in Germany, how friends who send each other music tend to have greater longevity. Do you guys, are you constantly sharing new stuff with each other as well?
Not constantly, but we do, and we have for a long time. Yeah.
Like, I hate it when people send me a link to a song.
Yeah, true, we've introduced each other to artists a bunch.
Yeah.
And I hate it too, actually. Like when we're in the van and Jamie's like, fucking listen to this. I'm like, oh, here we go. Not that it's going to be bad. I just don't want to. You know what I mean? Like I'm all good in that moment. Yeah.
Yeah. When someone texts you and they've got a link.
Yeah. Okay. Is it the equivalent of like when someone goes, watch this really funny video and you feel forced to kind of laugh along? I'm going to have to pretend I like this track now.
Yeah, and like the chances of me connecting with this song right now are so little. Like I'm literally in the middle of like doing so. Like I'm there's a good chance I'm just not going to care about this song.
Like I'm chopping carrots right now. I'm not going to be able to do this.
I'm just going to make a note. Don't send any tracks to the boys.
After this. Honestly, yeah. I like it because obviously it's a great way to discover music when friends or people that you trust or like send you shit. But honestly, I'm listening to 1 in 10 of them that come over.
Yeah, yeah. Fair play.
Yeah, it's hard. But, you know, Todd, you did show me, there's been sometimes that Todd sent me links and I've begrudgingly listened and then I've absolutely, it's changed my life and it's become one of my favorite. But that has happened.
There you go. Again, I mentioned that Ari's been on recently. And like, I swear there's always like a lot of talk in Australia. Like, obviously I love being a Brit here, love Australian music and discovering new bands such as yourselves. And there seems to be this like ongoing chat. And I know it's one that's been going on for a long time in Australia where it's like, there's really good music here. But then a lot of people tend to moan about the fact that Australian music is just in Australia. It's hard to get it out. But then there does feel like a lot of love around Australian music at the moment as well. Mm. So I just wonder where you guys kind of sat with that. Like, do you feel the love specifically just in Australia or do you not? Or like, how have you found trying to get your music out there as well?
Oh, yeah, true. Well, I mean, like, we love our fan base so much, you know, we love touring and meeting them all and the amount of energy and sort of, the amount of energy they bring to the live shows and all that kind of stuff is so good. Definitely feel like but it is just, it's a small market, so to speak, you know, it's small in Australia. And, so I think it's like, yeah, there's just more people in overseas, which is why so many bands like move. Really, to be able to connect with more people, but we've got a bunch of international fans as well. We've got a lot of listeners in the States and the UK and through Europe and shit. So that's good, and we really want to build upon that. We're probably going to go to America next year at some point and tour and start to play places like that.
Yeah, I think it's been cool. Like we haven't played a lot overseas. We've played a bunch of times in the UK and Europe and. It's nice, like we'll just, you know, we don't do massive tours when we're there, we haven't, but, you know, play in Bristol and people fly down from Ireland for the show or like, you know, you're in the Netherlands and some people trek it over from Germany or whatever and it's like, it's really special to kind of connect and outside of Australia too.
Yeah, that's cool. You mentioned Bristol there. I've got some really good mates that live there and I love that city. How do you get on with the accent in Bristol? Because it's a pretty unique one.
Oh, I don't even remember it, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, what does it sound like?
How's it go?
I was like, I'm more than happy to sample for you. Like, well, they love drinking cider in Bristol and you always sound happy in a Bristolian accent, but they'll be like, all right, Jamie, Todd, do you want to pop round for a pint of cider? And it's a bit more like, all right, how are you, my lover?
Cider. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, it's one of cider. Those ones.
Yeah. Yeah, one of those ones. Interesting you mentioned that because I know you have played some shows in the UK and your sound, like when I first came across you guys, I was like, oh, this sounds like golden era indie guitar music. I imagine you resonate quite well with the fans over there.
Yeah, definitely. We've had a really good time all the shows that we've done over there, for sure. It does seem to resonate.
And with your sound as well, because like I love it. It's literally like the stuff that I'm was kind of like born and raised on and love. And particularly with the new tracks as well, you've got all that like classic, there's punk in there, there's rock. It's just like straight up guitar music. I love it. In some senses at the moment, it's a little bit unfashionable. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like guitar music is having a bit of a rebirth at the moment, but is that something that you've always just had at the core of what you guys are about?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely. It's a guitar band for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, we kind of like how simple it is, just like drums, bass, guitar, vocals. There's this kind of like rotating conversation about like, I swear guitar music's been coming back for like every 2 years, guitar music is coming back or something.
Yes.
Like, so but it also never goes anywhere really. Like,
yeah, bands, it depends who you ask. Around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah. It's always bubbling under the surface at least, isn't it? Because one of my favorite bands, and I actually hear them a bit in your music, The Vaccines, like when they came about, I was 2010, 2011 sort of time, they were like, because I was about 17 at the time and it was like really billed as the return of guitar music.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a real big thing.
And so were The Strokes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, The Strokes. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
Wolfmother.
All that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a few returns. True. It's like
I'm gonna do that. I reckon our next album, let's just go with the like PR campaign, return of guitar music, see how it goes.
Yeah, well, we can do it on this album. It's out this week.
Oh, it's so true. Okay, this is the return of guitar music.
Yeah, we should do that.
We're the kings of guitar music. Let's go.
Yeah, the kings of guitar music are back with the return of rock and roll and punk.
I want to be involved in this campaign now, all right?
It sounds sick. Guitar music's back, baby.
I can see the headline, return of guitar music again.
Yeah.
Get it in shining bright lights, absolutely. Well, let's chat about that album, Godspeed. Awesome, guys. Really, really big fan of it. And quite a few, like I said, alluded to earlier, like, got that kind of classic sound to it, but a real mix of different stuff. You've got rock and the straight up raw punk tracks. I made a couple of notes here. Pig and Birdbrain in particular. Yes, okay, I'll have a bit of that. That is, yeah, I fucking love those tunes. I just love songs that just have that kind of fuck it approach, essentially, and you just really hammer it. And I imagine tracks like that are really, really fun to put together.
They are. They really are. Those two songs, I think Birdbrain probably surprised us the most on this album. Like, listening back to it after recording it, just being like, fucking hell, all right. I wasn't expecting to do a song that sounded like that. It's so like raw and powerful and energetic, and it's fucking hard to play live.
Yeah. You've got
to practice it so much.
Yeah. I can imagine it's hard because it's high tempo, big time, that track.
It is. It was like, I think, this is nerdy shit, but 180 BPM when we wrote it. And then in the studio, we ended up making it 210 BPM. So we like sped it up a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it might have even been more than that. Wasn't it 38?
Oh, yeah. I think 210 was like where we wanted to bring it back down. Yeah. It was like crazy. So we'd really pushed that one in the studio too.
Ben made us basically speed that up, and we were like a little bit unsure about it. And he was like, nah, this is definitely how it's got to go. And we were like, oh, what about this? And we showed him one a bit slower, and he was like, sorry, guys, I'm going to be a stick in the mud about this and say, no, it's got to be this fast.
Yeah, he's got such an encyclopedia of punk knowledge in terms of just what he knows, but also has worked on, but also just music in general. And so, like, he was very much seeing it like, no, this is a very specific style of punk music. It needs to be this tempo. And I'm glad it was in the end.
That's quite interesting because I can imagine, you obviously have the original concept of a song in your mind, but does that happen quite a lot when you get into the studio, whether it be the BPM or like adding in different parts where you kind of like the excitement of being together in the room and putting it down on a track? Like, does that often happen where things naturally deviate from the original plan?
For sure. And it's quite like thrilling when they do, because it's scary, because you're like, fuck, I hope this is a brand new idea. I hope this is still good in 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, when you're writing for months on end, the songs have time to marinate and sort of change and breathe and grow and stuff. But when you're in the studio, it all becomes quite final. And so there's often times where, like, Todd plays in one of the songs called Ecstasy, was written in the studio, and it's kind of a weird solo. It's fucking awesome. Mm. It's super weird feeling though. And so you do it and you're like, I love it right now. I hope I still do. And luckily with that, it sounds fucking, it's mad.
I can imagine. You mentioned the guitar there. Another note I made at the end, towards the end of Instincts, there's some really nice, like, classic rock sounding guitar at the end of that track. And I was just like, oh, hello. That's a nice little addition. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like U2 or something there. I don't really know what's going on, but
I listened to it and I was like, there's a real nice familiarity to it.
Yeah. Well, I think that was like, because I was doing that thing for like all the time. And then in the studio, Ben was just like, all right, so this take, just do something different. And I was like really on the spot. And I just played like something easy and like random shit. And then it just turned into that. And I was like, oh, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Todd, you just like mimics the guitar sound there. Again, when you're in your studio, when you're trying to work parts out, do you almost end up chatting in like song speak where you're like, no, you do like da-la-da-la-la and I'll do ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's cringe.
That's exactly what happens.
I try and avoid doing it because I can't, but yeah, if I have to.
Yeah, I can imagine it happens with drum beats as well quite a bit.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. It's pretty funny.
Another track I wanted to ask you about, which has been out as a single, is Big Machine. Absolutely huge fan of that. I wanted to ask, what is the sample of that audio at the beginning of the track?
Oh, that's a guy called Ferg, who I met.
Fergo.
Fergo. Fergo, who we met in a in Wollongong. We were actually supporting Grinspoon in Wollongong. And we were in the car park afterwards, and this guy with like tall, tanned, long hair, big handlebar mustache, like kind of had a, like a bikey sort of vibe.
Yeah.
Like, voice like this. Oh, you guys are awesome. Good on you, boys. Yeah, nah. So when he's back, oh, where he's living? Melbourne. Oh, yeah, yeah. Nice. How do you like it down there, boys?
He was like that.
Yeah.
Love it.
And then he just, at some point, Frank started recording him. We told him, by the way, we messaged him and said, hey, we recorded you that night. Can we use your voice on the thing? Because he just had such a funny, funny voice.
The whole recording is amazing. He's like, wanted to have us over to his house, just going on about how he had like checker plate flooring and pub carpets and doing burnouts in the garage. Oh, it's going to be lovely, you guys.
Yeah.
That's so good. That must have been quite a surreal message to send, to be like, hey, man, just so you know, we were recording yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, unreal. But I love those things, especially for you guys being in a band. Just as a punter going to gigs, I love just those interactions with characters. I think that specifically live only at gigs. Like us, the type of people that just come out of the woodwork for live music, I just love those interactions. They're the best.
Yeah. Look, it's probably not the most ethical thing to have recorded him either, but we, you know, we've told it. We're just fascinated by...
We're inspired. Yeah.
We're inspired. He's a character. We could not stop laughing, you know. and then it's just so... It just fits the song so well. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tight, but you guys are going to do it. Yeah, it's a nice message.
I actually thought it almost sounds like a pre-sports match, like... Pump up speech.
It was. That's what he was doing to us. He was going. He was just saying, "Keep going. He's gonna be fine."
I bet you're wild. You're pretty ready to run through a brick wall for that guy.
Yeah, for sure.
He wanted to buy a t-shirt of us after telling us about how like tough it is and how we should keep going and all this shit. And so he's like, him and his mate or son, I don't know who it was, would like wanted to buy shirt from the back of our van because we were actually leaving because we had to leave early or whatever, and we ended up selling them to him, and he made us give him a discount. Well, he asked us for a discount off him, which was really funny. I thought it was like, we're happy to do it, but it was just like, you just told us how hard it is to do this, mate. Why are you trying?
Yeah, exactly. I'll have that half price, please.
Yeah. And we were like, okay, I'm kind of scared of you. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you guys as well, because in the notes for the album, there was a quote that stood out to me. It feels like on Godspeed, you guys said, it feels like it was the first three albums combined. And like, I think sonically, like the sound definitely, but I wanted to ask about that as an idea and a concept, like just you guys as a band and as people, do you think that's like the albums combined as like the journey to get there as well?
Yeah, I kind of do. It's like, it was certainly not something that we set out to do at all, but we all just realized that there was a bit of a pattern. Like there were elements from our first album that made their way onto this record. Like I hadn't really been singing in a particularly Australian or my natural sort of Australian sounding accent really since the first album. And I did a lot of that on this album, which was super fun to sort of get back to. And then there's also like more melodic stuff, like our third album. And then I think, just some like, I'm not really exactly sure how it's similar to the second one, but it feels somehow like a blend of all of them. But also maybe it doesn't, you know, like I just said that on the day that we were talking about what the album, it was just an idea off the top of my head and, you know, but I think it does. I think it's right.
Yeah, nice. Another track that stood out to me is RIP Me. What was the concept behind that track? Because it's quite a unique track for you guys on that album, I think.
When we wrote that, we were just on this writing trip away and no one was playing. Everyone was just sort of hanging out. And then we just had this moment where Will and I just hate saying it because I feel cringe, but like swapped instruments. I'm like, want to just like...
There's literally a meme about like band practice is over when people start swapping instruments.
It's just, we never do it either. It's like, I just think it's cringe, whatever. But like we did it and like I picked up the bass for some fun and then Will picked up the guitar. And so that's how we wrote that song. We literally wrote it in like first go, like the verse and chorus just like popped out. And then vocals came down pretty quick on that too, really. I think went for a bit of a walk or something, and then Jamie started singing along, and then yeah, it just sort of came out from, I guess, experimenting a little, which is, I guess, why it's sort of a little bit different.
Mm. Yeah, nice. Yeah, it feels nice that, like, you guys seem to be a band that do... Obviously, you have these original ideas that we spoke about earlier, but you are quite open to the fact of letting things take a bit of a natural course and different creative elements coming into this stuff as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think that excites us, you know. It's like it's very easy to police yourself about, like, oh, hang on, this, we're a punk band. This doesn't sound punk. It sounds rock and roll, you know. And it's like it's kind of more fun just to relax a little bit, I reckon, and just see what happens. You know, oftentimes the best bits of albums come when you're absolutely not expecting them, when you're not trying, like this, swap, you know, pick up each other's instruments, noodle away for a little while, and then we had that song. And that's my girlfriend's favorite song on the album, and it's one of my favorite songs on the album as well. I think it's like super, super cool. I love the chorus. To me, it's really Australiana, like 70s Australiana or something like that.
Yeah, rocking, definitely.
Like pub rock Australian.
Yeah.
Or sort of like post-punk. And yeah, lyrically, it's just about like being depressed and beaten down by the world, the big machine, being pumped full of fucking Maccas and Instagram and like a little pig and wrung out and hung out to dry, having no time, you know, to yourself, having to work for no ends. That's kind of what it's about, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah. I was actually going to ask you about that, because like I think the energy in the tracks, there's an anger to them as well. And it's a weird, we do live in a really weird time, I think. I genuinely think like in 20, 30 years time, there'll be people going like, "That, what was going on in the 2020s, man, honestly?"
Yeah.
I guess for you guys, it's obviously pretty shit time to live, but for putting songs together, it's quite a good, I hate this word, good canvas though, in terms of writing songs.
Yeah, I guess it does feel like more of a fertile kind. I mean, there's just so much stimulus. But you know, like most of it's horrible. So it's like, I think it's just, yeah, you make art in these times to hopefully reflect how, you know, certainly how we're feeling, but like hopefully the way we're feeling is mirrored and, you know, felt on a massively widespread level. And we can all sort of take a bit of comfort in knowing that we all feel same.
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. I was going to just quickly before we move on to Dream Gig Venue, something you mentioned earlier about not over policing yourselves. Obviously, you guys are like four albums down the track now. I can imagine in the early days for a band that over policing and like over stressing things is probably quite a prevalent thing within an early band. So, like, if you were chatting to a band that were putting their first album together now, like what words of wisdom would you give them, do you reckon, in terms of trying to just stay relaxed and enjoy creating?
Oh, it's a good one. I'd say just have fun. Seriously, like enjoy it with your friends. Don't stress about getting a manager or an agent or whatever. Like that shit will happen if it's supposed to. And yeah, enjoy playing gigs, meeting people, hanging out and writing new songs. That's what I'd say.
I would say all of that, and then also just like try to not take yourself too seriously. Like you said before, you know, like over stressing about the fine details and this, that. Like, don't even worry about that. Write stuff as if it doesn't matter, because it doesn't.
Beautifully put, guys. Love that. All right, if you're ready, we'll do the Dream Gig Venue.
I'll have two pints, please. I love this band. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy, yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The Dream Gig Venue. Step this way.
Jamie Todd, Dream Gig Venue time. First of all, can you please give me the made-up name and what capacity would you like for the venue?
Okay, what do we got? What do we got, Todd? I know you've got some. Oh, what about
I'm up with some good venue names, but they've been really terrible. Like they're
gross, like Cummies.
Yeah, Cummies.
which is awful. We're not dick joke people, by the way, at all. Yeah. But some of this is funny. But
it was because a friend was starting a venue or something, and he asked me for names, so he just gave me shit ones.
Let's call it Cummies. Come on, Cummies.
It's called Cummies, and it holds 400 people. What do you think, Jamie?
I reckon 150.
I reckon 400. You know, we play in 400 rooms a lot. Let's
400
go.
At Cummies. Awesome. And dress code. What is everyone wearing at Cummies?
Like the punters or the staff? Like, am I the manager?
Punters. Punters.
Okay.
Is it too boring to say Mufti Day?
Is that where you just wear what you want?
Yeah.
The school.
Is that too boring? Yeah. Like just regular. I want everyone just wearing their regular clothes in Cummies.
I need to grow up. That's going to make me laugh every time. Okay, free drink and free food as well. Dream gig venue, so there's free food available.
Sick. Pint of Carlton.
Mm-hmm.
Pints of Carlton. Free pints of Carlton.
Yeah.
And for me, like burgers, couple of burgers, just like three burgers.
A vegan one, a chicken one, a beef one. Yeah, that's mad.
Unreal.
Okay, and I'll add on to that some margaritas and tequila. But like the margaritas, they make real quick. Like they're not taking ages. So you order one.
Hate that.
Yeah.
I fucking hate it when someone's making a fucking cocktail.
Dude, when I was in South by in Austin years back, you could just get margaritas like a beer. Like it was so sick and you just have them all day. It was mad.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a faff, isn't it, getting a cocktail?
Yeah, it is. No faffing at Cummies.
It is, and it completely ruins the flow of the bar.
Yeah, if you get so behind someone. Then food, burgers sounds good to me as well. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, queuing at the bar is annoying. I'll tell you one thing, like I love an old man moan in regards to pubs. I reckon like booking culture has really fucked pubs up. I hate when you walk into a pub and it's like Janet times six at 6:45. I'm like, what the fuck? Why is this all booked out?
You know what? I kind of agree with you. It's like, you can't fucking get a seat at a pub because it's all booked. It's like, what's going on here?
And you feel so dumb when you walk up to a table and then you have to turn around.
Is mental. It should just be a free for all, hey, like musical chairs.
Yeah. And it's the clap every time a member of staff like, you can sit here, but like you'll have to leave at 5:45 because that's when Janet's coming. Yeah. And you're like,
When Janet comes, I'll leave.
Yeah. Here's another thing about our dream music venue. It must have seating out the front, really close to the road, like right next to the road. Like you're shoulder to shoulder with the traffic.
Yeah, okay.
And you can smoke anywhere outside you like.
Yes. Yeah. Australia's super locked on with their smoke. It's mad. You can't smoke anywhere.
Oh, God. Are they what?
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
There you go. I'm trying to remember what the hell was next in the dream gig. We diverted quite a lot there. Who would you like, so you're headlining, dead or alive, support acts. Who are you having?
Jimi Hendrix.
Yes. Nice.
But no one said Michael Jackson because they're...
No one said MJ. No one said MJ.
Okay. Yeah. Well... Yeah, but we probably should know MJ. So I will have Placebo, please.
Okay. Nice. Do you know that's one band I need to get into? I haven't listened to loads of their stuff before, but they're huge. Sick. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some really, really, really good records.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's like the stat if I'm going to listen to one album? What do you reckon?
Yeah, either Sleeping With Ghosts or let me look up the name of this other one.
Yeah, like if you're... into your indie guitar music like we're talking about, I think Placebo is going to be in real good.
Yeah. Oh, Without You, I'm Nothing. Without You, I'm Nothing. Fucking Without sick. You, that's I'm an nothing. Amazing song. That song is unbelievable.
Sweet.
Yeah,
I'll get onto it.
That's a great album. Yeah.
Perfect. All right. And finally, for the dream gig venue, who would you like running the front door security? This could be anyone.
Dave.
The question is, who is Steve?
It's Steve. He's our friend. He always wears
beanie. Steve. He always wears a beanie. So
yeah, he's on the door. He's really friendly. Doesn't take shit, and sort of honest. You know.
Yeah,
Beanie and Steve.
Beanie Steve or Steenie Beeve, as we like to call him.
Yeah,
Steenie Beeve's a great name.
Yeah.
Nice, love that. Well, there you go. That is Cummies.
Alternative Down Under.
There you go. Is that the most ridiculous dream gig venue name we've had here? Cummies. Thanks, Todd and Jamie, for that real insightful dream gig venue. But a very insightful chat in the main part. So thanks once again for joining me. Great company. And I do need to get on the adult sleepover club. It's just great, man. I love just hanging out with mates, but I feel like as you get older, you kind of lose that a little bit. Life gets a little bit hectic. But yeah, it's nice to have those moments. And nice to have good chats about music. As you can tell, two guys who absolutely love their craft and have a lot of fun. And as they said in their message to upcoming artists, try not to take it too seriously. I think that's even just a good thing to live by, because I know I'm guilty of it, just getting caught up in trying to do better, trying to do more, trying to get busy and achieving things. But just try and enjoy the ride in general, I think, is just such a good outlook to try and adopt to your life. Anywho, the new album, Godspeed, comes out on Friday. Exciting times. And hand in hand with that goes their live podcast shows. They're hitting 500 episodes of What a Great Punk. They are playing three shows across the weekend. Friday, this Friday, they're at Good Chat Comedy Club in Brisbane. Following day, the Lansdowne in Sydney. And on Sunday, wrapping things up at the Railway Hotel here in Melbourne Town. But yeah, very excited for that album to drop. I've been fortunate enough to have a listen through already. And you're going to be in for a treat. Fans of guitar, fans of classic indie punk, this one is for you. Thanks once again for joining us. We'll be back in a little while. Might have a quick pause here on Alt Down Under as we get a few different things arranged and locked in for the future and early next year. But yes, I will keep you up to date on our socials, alt.down.under on Instagram and TikTok. In the meantime, take it easy and I'll catch you very, very soon.